You have to change the way how we have the processes behind the scene. If the process is not efficient, maybe we can add technology in there. People talk about RPA, robotic process automation.
Welcome to the Disruptive Innovators, Champions of Digital Business podcast, where IT and digital leaders from around the world talk about their careers, their inspiration, and their vision for the future of digital business. I'm your host, David Wright. The world of digital business is evolving faster than ever, and I want this to be a place where digital business champions create a village to band together and help each other navigate the ever-changing terrain. Disruptive Innovators features conversations with CIOs and digital leaders from around the world, diving into their personal backstory, career, their current role, trends they've been seeing, and their vision for the future, personally, professionally, and otherwise. This podcast is made for people who are seeing how quickly the digital business landscape is evolving. Those who recognize that it takes a village of trusted advisors to navigate this ever-changing terrain. People who enjoy listening to high-level discussions surrounding what it means to be a leader, real-world examples of challenges faced, and industry-specific strategies leveraged to create exceptional business outcomes. This episode is brought to you by Disruptive Innovations, a leading tech consulting firm that helps enterprise organizations with their IT strategy, process optimization, and workflow improvement. Contact them and find out more at disruptiveinnovations.net.
Good afternoon, friends. David Wright here, and I am your host of the Disruptive Innovators Champions of Digital Business podcast. Hope you're having a great day. This afternoon, both on the East Coast and the West Coast, I am lucky enough to be joined by Jonathan Chan. Jonathan, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you. Thank you, David. Thanks for the invitation to join a podcast session.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's been a little time in the making, so excited to have you. Jonathan, for those of our listeners who may not be familiar with your work, can you just tell everyone a little bit about where you are today?
Sure. We're in the tech industry. So I started work in the tech industry about 20 plus years ago. I think very much like some of you listening to the podcast, started off as a guy, a network guy, pulling network cable, punching down those Cat5 jacks and fixing computer. That time is a floppy disk, finally floppy disk, because I need to boot up Windows 3.1 to do some work. So that's the good old time. Ever since then, I started working in the tech industry for 20-some years. I'm a senior leader right now in a healthcare tech organization. I'm one of their head of security as well as IT. So I run both. I'm very lucky to be that. But the journey doesn't come easy. So it's a lot of stories to tell. So I hope today we'll spend some time talking about the journey as well as some of the things that I learned.
Yeah, no, that's honestly some of the things that resonate with folks the most are those stories, and looking forward to it. That's all just to say. We do like to start, Jonathan, with just one piece of actionable advice you might look to leave everyone with today.
Advice is, it is a business enabler. You as the IT is a business leader, how you drive business decisions. I like to have you think about it. We are not a techie, we are business owner. Treat it that way. I think in this journey of as a technologist, I think you will win a lot of people's hearts.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. I was just having this conversation earlier today about an organization, healthcare, university health system that still has very siloed IT and operation, right? And IT, they don't get that. So I hope they listen to this and heed your advice. But Jonathan, I am interested to learn a little bit more about your journey. I have a similar upbringing with network cables and floppy disks and all of that, but interested to know, maybe to start would just be, over the course of your journey, what was one of the most important things that you learned, and what life was like before learning that and after learning that, if something sticks out in your mind?
Sure. What sticks out in my mind is that for folks in the IT industry, we always ask, hey, I want more budget. I need to buy more software. I need to buy more technology. I need to move to the cloud. I need to build more machines because I need to support the business. Again, the word at the end, support the business. How you convert the conversation to how you drive revenue, how we drive the business goal. Change it to be from a cost center as an IT, how to make that shift of discussion. A lot of the time, you have to learn it from your life. The life journey is, hey, mom, I need to buy this. Mom going to say, is it a need or is it an urge that you want to do? You always say, hey, mom, I want to buy this because I have to do my homework. I'm not buying an iPad, for example, to watch YouTube, to watch video, to play video game. I had to use iPad because I need to download material so I can learn faster because I do not write the read books, but I like to spend time flipping pages on YouTube or maybe flipping pages into my Amazon books on that. It's easier. I think however you like to look at that is that technology has changed the way how we are life. How can we leverage how we can invest into technology to make life better? I started off as in the fintech industry. Fintech is like I'll consider the industry that like to take technology into different spins. The good old days of using cash, forget about it. I don't think you guys have cash in your pocket going out, even maybe a dollar bill. No, you guys have all electronic payment. You have credit card, you have Apple Pay, Android, and whatever. I think that kind of things that, do I need to buy a cell phone nowadays to do my work, to go out and to go shopping? Yeah, you better have an iPhone. I think this kind of thing, how you change it, whether you want to buy a fancy iPhone or you want to buy something just basic, it is all your choice, but how you can buy technology to make your life easier is, again, is a life lesson that we learned. And I think we can be better at looking out for some newer technology. How can we continue to improve? Not just our life, it's our people that we care.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I think that when I look at the outlook for some of the newer use cases for artificial intelligence, that is how I approach it, is how am I better enabling the human experience leveraging AI as a tool versus AI replacing the human? You know what I mean?
Very true. People, I heard it from another person that talk about AI, and I defended my position about artificial intelligence. I don't think it's artificial intelligence yet. It's called assisted intelligence. Phrase it that way first, because us as a human being, we can do a lot more than relying on artificial intelligence. I will look at first thing first is to build your comfort zone of using AI as a co-pilot. Very cool. Okay, let's try it. You know, you have your Tesla, you drive around. Okay. Yeah, you may bump into a couple of things. It's all right. It's software that I think it still needs some time. We understand. Yeah, things happened. Before you even go to a fully autopilot mode requires that you as an individual, as a human being, you trust the technology. Let the technology drive your day-to-day work. So think about that. AI is a assisted intelligence to drive your first step, co-pilot. Play around a bit, assisting with that before you drive into the fully autopilot mode that do things for you. Even though it does a lot of work right now, for example, the people use autocorrections, the AI technology. If you open up your Gmail, you start typing email, sometimes they know what you want to talk about it. Yeah, you say, okay, fine. I'll just go ahead and tap. There you go. There's some sentence. Make it faster. But you still have to be the one that hit enter and accept the change. I think this is a good example for the co-pilot state, artificial intelligence state that we are living in is the world.
Yeah, no, I said, and I'm glad that we went there because I think that's a helpful perspective. What about, Jonathan, I'm curious if there's a time over the course of your journey that sticks out in your mind as a time that you failed or you had a project go awry or something personally that happened, but ultimately you took away a life lesson or something profound from that event. Anything stick out in your mind?
Stick out in my mind, I would say maybe some of the IT folks on this field agree to us that we like to be in front of the computer 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, just because it's so much inside the internet. The material that you have is basically so much in there. A lot of the time we find that the amount of material in there, you want to digest fast, but you want to take it off your mind a lot of times to rethink about strategy. I am a marathon runner. I love to go run marathons. I'm Ironman. I do half Ironman sometimes if I body feels like it. I take challenges. I think in many times technology and the sport is a challenge. You can be very good at one thing, you know, the triathlon, Ironman, you have three disciplines. You know how to swim, you got to run, you got to do how to do riding a bicycle, cycling, and also running. You got to be all of them very well, you know how to compete. But a lot of times you want to start with one discipline such as in the technology side, maybe start with the basic software programming languages. There's probably one basic. Before you learn something else, cybersecurity. Before you even all the way going to something like be a business management side, there's probably a multiple discipline you got to go and you got to fine tune it. How can you get that experience is through a lot of times hard work. And sometimes you may have to go outside your comfort zone just to learn something. I hate software development. I'm very poor at that. I have to use a lot of sample code, make some changes to the sample code to see if it works. But I find myself that I have to be very comfortable. Just like you'd be very comfortable in swimming before you go swimming in the ocean, right? Swimming in a lake or you're swimming in a swimming pool, you got to be very comfortable. Same thing with cycling too. You may make mistakes. Again, mistakes in the cybersecurity. Hey, you may one day may have put up a patch all the Windows boxes and nobody can work because it broke Microsoft AD. It happens to everyone, I'm sure. It happens to me many times. So I learned my mistakes. Then you get out of that comfort zone and find your most, I would say the moment that of truth is the moment that you really think, yes, this is the way I should position myself in the technology industry. I think there's probably some lessons that I learned as an athlete, as an IT person, and what makes me change the way how I think. No longer just in putting cables.
Yeah, I so appreciate that because I started out as a generalist. Right. I cut my teeth on large scale LAN implementations and then moved into more data center, co-location, cloud infrastructure, then dabbled in a little bit of security. But it wasn't until I went into CX full bore. Right. And I had done some contact center and before, but there was the business side of it. Right. Which was largely new. Years ago at this point, and then there was the adjacent technologies, your AI and automation, workforce management, quality, all these other subspecialties. And I just really, the whole time I was flying over my skis and it was very uncomfortable because there's people who have been doing this their whole lives. I'm on the internet researching, just figuring it out. And then also calling and asking for help, talking to guys who had gone before me to learn and soak it up. And it was hard. It took a long time. But to your point, now that I'm in this role and it's really what I'm focused on, I love it. I love the work so much and it's very fulfilling.
It is. Loving the work will give you the extra energy that you go above and beyond. It's a very simple thing. If you hate something, you're probably going to avoid it. You avoid it in many ways, just like mom, hey, go ahead and can you take out the trash? Hate it. Yeah, but you got to get used to it because if you have a clean house, things are going to be better. Just something in general. It's all about life. Technology is about life. Yep. You love what you do, then you do a really good job on that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I want to talk, Jonathan, more about your current role and what you're up to right now. Before I do, I always just like to ask your favorite book or literary piece either that you're reading currently or all time, your choice.
Turn the Ship Around. That was a good book. You have to be a social servant and you also have to be a extreme leadership sometimes, in many times. Okay. Technology team that I have they have all different background. They have done so much in the tech industry. They have built large scale networks. They do IT support. Even the first 2 years of IT, and even for something very senior, like a management role. Think about in many cases that to be a technology leader, to be a not only something that you may question about yourself, is to question the purpose of why you're doing things. You're doing technology, you're building systems, you're supporting a business for a very much reason. Because you may love the work, you may love the industry. I work in healthcare. I start off as a fintech, but I moved to healthcare because nowadays I think, hey, I think I have a good chance of bringing what I learned into the healthcare, because the healthcare industry is somewhat very old days, very legacy, a lot of paper and pencil, and a lot of, you know, old days, faxing. Yep, people talk about fax. Yep, fax. Scanner, electronic medical record. Yeah, you have it. You don't have it, sorry, you got to scan it and you get somebody to type it in. How to help the industry to drive? You have to be sometimes as a extreme leadership to drive that sense to get everyone on board, because you are the change agent. Change agent means you can drive a big difference one step at a time. I think this book have helped me to change the way how I build, do team building, and even talking to my colleagues, my technology leaders, maybe even to leaders in this space, even I'll talk about to my peers, they're working in different industry. A lot of them, they all agree that in order to change, you have to be the change agent. How fast can you change? It depends on the company dynamics. But if you have that mindset day to day, it'll be great. It's not only great, you can build faster. Not only building faster, building more efficient, and you can be the leader in this space. I think that mentality, that books have changed. Yeah, have changed my the way I think. I used to be a follower, right? Whatever my boss said, I'll follow him. But I want to be a little bit more challenging to him. Ask the question first. Why? Ask the question, what is the importance? I think I have a better alignment. I think that will help on the win-win situations.
Yeah, no, 100%. Super cool. And I agree. How am I being that change agent? How am I facilitating organizational change management? And yes, healthcare has some ground to cover for a multitude of different reasons. So let's talk about it. So you were in fintech, you made the jump over to Episource as the head of global IT and security. Talk to me a little bit about your vision for the organization, what the organization does, how you guys are trying to make an impact. So those maybe who aren't familiar with your mission can better understand what you guys are up to.
I think changing a system, changing anything requires but the fundamental. If you don't know the core, then you don't know how to change it. I felt like that my role in this organization started as a basic. Episource is a company, I'll consider we are a data company. We do medical coding, we do medical chart retrieval. It's a practice of business. We do risk adjustment to collect the data and do risk adjustments. A lot of the data that we collect are the fundamentals. Health records, again, think about it. You cannot change anything, you cannot build anything until you have the data. Start up on that, and I find that in many cases, you cannot change the entire industry just by one big step. Just like you could follow the ocean. You got to start with the cup first, right? One cup at a time. And we're looking at the ingestion side of data. Let's start with that first. If I have a way to ingest the data system faster, you know, retrieve the chart more efficiently, more cost effective, I think I have a better chance to drive the cost of US healthcare on the cost. Because we are talking about it's expensive. We all know it's so expensive. You don't have insurance. Even if you have insurance, still there's all costs associated to the healthcare. Start with that first. And if I can be very efficient on doing medical coding, it costs money to do medical coding. If I can drive that cost lower, that is the fundamental of the medical data on sitting in the system. And from there, I can build on top what I consider better decisions making. I think maybe AI, I don't know. We'll probably be able to help, but we sit in this side because AI and healthcare, there's a privacy in there. We'll figure it out someday. I'm a big proponent of privacy, but you think about that. Drive that from one step at a time, investing in my time into how to make it more efficient, operational excellence, as people talk about, how we can make it better. I think that will drive the industry in the right direction. Not only myself, I've been a big advocate in many times, is to look for people in the healthcare, looking at when the time we turn 60, 65, we are relying heavily on the government to subsidize our healthcare. I'm a well-being advocate many times. Go and speak at a conference, how to drive that decisions. And even looking at one step at a time, again, go back to this good old world that I'm focusing on cybersecurity. How can I bring cybersecurity from a operation cost expense to a revenue driving engine for the business? There's a different conversation when I try to look for ways to protect the data that I collect, because people trust us to collect the data. I have to say the same thing to you. Trust me, I'll go ahead and this is what I do. You can trust me. You cannot just say, trust me. You got to show them this is what I have done. Then I think the trust can be used both ways. Those are the beginning stage that to drive more changes in this space.
Yeah. No, and I've mentioned this before, but leveraging some of the like DevOps principles that are outlined in Gene Kim's book, The Phoenix Project, when you're like looking at and you're identifying bottlenecks and you're building in feedback loops. I feel like a lot of those concepts, A, they're DevOps related, B, they're seemingly so simple, but I feel like a lot of the times for healthcare providers or payers for that matter, a lot of the times we don't end up looking at things end to end for different reasons. The perceived complexity, and listen, healthcare is complex, but I think what you're saying, it just makes so much sense. So I'm glad to hear that you guys are leading the charge there. What are some of the key initiatives you guys are focused on right now?
Everyone talk about AI, so I cannot talk about AI because like I said earlier, AI and privacy, they don't get along very well. But I still have to say that we look for ways to leverage data in a different capacity. Go back to the core basic principle, NLP, natural language processing, continuity on that. Do not put it your head all around to LLM, large language model, on Gen AI, because Gen AI has its own broad that we have to think about it. For myself, what I have been spending most of the time for the last year is to build up the cybersecurity practice for a healthcare organization. A lot of the times we're looking at healthcare, we are the number one being attacked by different directions. At the end of the day, is a healthcare data that if you say what is the cost associated to a healthcare data breach, is costless. Actually, it's also a priceless in many cases because healthcare data cannot be changed. It belongs to you. If data breach into a banking system, a credit card number, you can probably just issue a new credit card number and be done with that. There's some financial penalty to that, but healthcare is number one. It's more toward what I'm doing in here is to think about on bringing the right vendor in this space to help us to drive better security in the left side, SecOps, DevOps, all the way to the end, deliver better products. Because at the end of the day, we all live here. We all have to use a healthcare system. We are the consumer. Who does not? We go on healthcare. Everyone does. So how can you change that equation? A plus B equals to C? No, you got to have more things around that. You may have to bring more besides vendor. You have to change the way how we have with the processes behind the scene. If the process is not efficient, maybe we can have technology in there. People talk about RPA, robotic process automation. Maybe there's a way we can do automation in some other capacity and make it easier. It's a good thing. And before that, even think about people too. How can you educate more folks on medical coding? Maybe that's one thing to do to training about how to use computer, how to program, how to do some things, maybe even train how to people on security awareness. Again, it's a cybersecurity operational things. And before we talk about the technology, because technology comes next, the technology is changing everything. So that's what I've been doing for the last year on, again, thinking about cybersecurity, thinking about business operations, and truly turn that from a cost center to a revenue driving engine.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about some of the biggest challenges you guys are facing as an organization today?
The biggest challenge people would be, the biggest people, generally people will think about is going to be the mindsets. You got to think strategic. a lot of times, because folks in the healthcare industry, they understand the need of technology investment, but they don't know where to start. Should I buy fancy database? What about fancy? What people talk about fancy database? There's no such word that do you build better data warehouse? I don't know. It started at the beginning. Let's talk about it. What is the end goal? If you want to drive better medical decisions outcome, let's start with that as an end goal. How can you bring the technology in there? Maybe there is a better way on, besides doing handling on databases, you may want to think about other technology besides database, language models, something like that. And you want to think about differently, such as compute. You may think about, instead of using a laptop, can you do a better job with iPads? You probably remember the virtual healthcare we've been through, Teladoc and other things, other technology. This is a good way of how we change the industry. You no longer have to visit a doctor. All you need is cell phone, iPad, a laptop or something like that. You can do a video conference. I think this is a good way of how we look at how technology has changed the way how we do things, even to a medical experience. And even down the road, maybe there's some other way too. What we're doing in this space is value-based care, value-based healthcare. Detect sooner so we can do more preventive. I think the data can sustain it. Just need to figure how to get the data into the right system and let it crunch it and then figure out ways to early on predicting what you're going to be. You can take care of that sooner than get stuck with a big medical bill that someone's going to pay for it. Maybe you have to pay for some, but no, let's think about it. Think outside the box.
No, 100%. Very cool. Jonathan, I have a couple last questions for you. One would be, where do you see the healthcare industry going in the future, what do you think will be some of the biggest changes as time passes, with the understanding that you don't currently have a crystal ball?
At the end of the day, is better healthcare outcome people want. What I mean by better health outcome is medications that can take care of some illnesses that we never thought about, never had. Maybe some illnesses that have been lingering around for so long, we still don't have a cure. Let's figure something out. The good old days of genetic engineering, people think about it, it's getting there. It's getting to a part that you can do genetically, find ways to put some medication out there. But it's still all about data. How can we have better data? How can we have better understanding about you as a human being, the populations, even all the way to your medical history? I think that is all about building a lot more knowledge. Knowledge means better outcome. The good old saying is applies to true. It doesn't change on any industry. Think about fintech too. The more they have on the better data, you have a better control of your finances. Same thing too. You have more better data, you have more better medical outcome, you'll feel more healthier. You can go out and run half marathon. I don't know. You just go out and enjoy your life. The quality of life is what is driving force of technology, healthcare, and any industry. So it's a better outcome. Quality of life is how you want to drive.
Yeah, I'm glad that you focused on that. Sometimes I hear people answer that question and that's not always at the top of the list. And that's what it's all about after all. So Jonathan, this was great. Last question I just to ask all of my guests is, if you could go back 5 or 10 years in time or even longer, what advice would you give your younger self?
I give myself one question that I want to ask. I have to say why I do that. No, I don't want to ask to that myself why I'm doing that. I always want to say, hey, what is your vision? What do you want to do? Ask what you do first and make decisions. What's the outcome you have? It's outcome driven. If I want to tell myself back to 5, 10 years ago, I may not be the same way that I'm thinking right now because I'm still in the fintech. I still, all I have is just bottom lines. It's about how much revenue I can help on driving a fintech organization, how to grow. But I will look at too is think about humanity in general, in what is better, how can you drive better living conditions using your knowledge? you're not doing it by yourself. You bring your team. You're influencing others to be part of what you believe in, how you can drive further. You as a technologist, you have the technology skills to do it. You may have other skills that you may never have. Then you have to have somebody to tag on with and to join you so you can build. I think that's where we find a lot of times is ask and bring along the right people and to drive better decisions and even to, you know, drive a better life. I think that's just my word of my advice. I'm in 50s right now. I'm feeling every day I have to get up 5 o'clock in the morning because my body doesn't want to sleep any longer than the sunrise. I have to go sleep at 9:30 because I want to feel great in the morning because I want to go to the gym. So if I can go to the gym, that's a good sign. This is considered a good life. So
love it. Jonathan, this is great. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today. I really appreciate having you on.
Great. I appreciate the time. And I hope the listener really enjoyed the conversation and we'll talk very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in and we will catch you all next week.
Thank you for listening to the Disruptive Innovators Champions of Digital Business podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and subscribe to enjoy future episodes. This episode is brought to you by Disruptive Innovations, a leading tech consulting firm that helps enterprise organizations with their IT strategy, process optimization, and workflow improvement. Contact them and find out more at disruptiveinnovations.net.